Isn't it amazing that you can start a conversation with a friend, with a colleague, with an acquaintance, and or with a complete stranger? Because as humans, we like to connect and converse with people and share ideas, share thoughts, opinions, beliefs, and convictions. And any conversation with anybody can develop in a number of ways. And it can either head north or it can head south. And that conversation can develop into a really good, interesting discussion covering interesting topics that are meaningful and important to you and the person that you're discussing them with. And that can lead to a good, robust discussion, whether it's on common ground or you have a different view of the world and you can meet middle ground and seek to understand before to be understood. And that can develop into a great learning experience, a great human experience, connecting with other humans and understanding other views and other philosophies and other people's values and other, and that brings you out of that discussion better in character, better as a human, more informed, more educated, more compassionate, whatever it might be. And it can be a great thing, and that's the whole point of communication with people, is to add value to their life, and they add value to your life, and that will add value to our life, and that will make the world a better connected place, you know, and with our fellow human mankind or person kind and humankind. And that in itself is a great experience to have. And you tend to be attracted to people like that, that people who not just understand you, but challenge you, develop you. And that's all the north facing developments of any form of great, sometimes robust, sometimes thoughtful, sometimes funny conversations. However, on the other hand, it can also head south, because when you start to share conversations or share your views and thoughts and ideas with other people, they may be contradictory, they may be conflicting, they will be basically different. And how you handle that is determined, will determine whether that relationship heads north or south. And many times people, unfortunately, will tend to judge differences rather than explore differences, rather than seeking to understand the difference in that person's view and what they've gone through and the moccasins they've wore over the many moons of their life to get them to that point. Some people tend to say, well, you're different to me, you must be wrong, I'm right. And then when it comes to the conversation, it's important that your goal is not to prove yourself right and them wrong, but to share different ideas, because ultimately in life, nothing is really right or wrong. It depends on what ground you're standing on, whether it's right for you or not right for you. Because if there is that conflict or that judgment or that try to persuade the other person to think the way you think, that discussion can lead to a debate. And there's nothing wrong with the debate if it's a healthy debate based on respect for other people's views. And that debate can, if there's no respect there or no compassion there or no understanding there, that can lead to an argument. Yes, we've all been in those states of argument. And when you get into an argument, you go from a logical place more to an emotional place. Because when you respect someone else, you tend to be more in that logic mindset, where you can say, okay, I can see your view, oh, that's a good point, and hey, that's some good information, and that's some good research, and yeah, that makes sense. So you start to see things through neutral eyes, not emotional eyes, from your viewpoint. But when you start to get emotional about it, whether you be defensive, you're getting defensive, or you're getting aggressive, or you're getting judgmental, you're going to that emotion. And you can tell when you get into that emotional state because things start to fire up in the belly. And sometimes what happens is that you end up attacking the person rather than attacking the problem. And when you start attacking the person, then that person gets fired up and emotional as well. And they start to, rather than attack the problem, they attack the person. And at the end of the day, with an argument, you have two people attacking each other, and it's got nothing to do with the problem or the topic that arose to the argument. And that's where you get into an argumentative state. That in turn can then lead to just a downright fight. So you have a fight with each other and you start to throw things at each other, whether it be throwing things in words or accusations or abuses or judgment or whatever it might be, and sometimes throw physical things or fists and punches, now you're into a fight. And then if you don't resolve that, then that can develop into a war. That's it, I'm never talking to you again. And a war is comprised of a continuous series of fights, fighting against people's differences. And what, you know, it sort of takes us away from the old freedom of speech and freedom of choice, and we're all humans, we all have a right to have our own belief and thought patterns and all sorts of stuff. But unfortunately, when we start to, you know, I best discuss maybe tender topics, and those topics could be politics, and those topics could be gender persuasions or gender views. It could be when it comes to different human rights, and whether it be, could also be also with now in this day and age, we have this big emotional pot of thoughts when it comes to medications and vaccines and all sorts of stuff. And I'm not going to open up that Pandora's box because it's very emotional, and you can see that people are fighting and there's wars, and there's you're on that side and you're on that side, and who's on the right side of history and all sorts of crazy stuff. Now we have a war. Many times we just tend to forget the common ground. It's just your ground and my ground, and everything in between is a battleground. So I guess it's up to you if you're going to become a mature, wise communicator, whether you have the ability to develop the conversation into a war or into a great respectful relationship. And I got lots of great relationships in my life, and there are people who, yeah, we have different views of the world, we have differences of opinion, but many times we just, on those particular topics, just agree to disagree. That doesn't mean our disagreements in that topic, which is one of the many topics who makes up the magic of life, will that one little difference affect every other thing that we do have in common with, and we do have a connection with, and we do have a common view with. If you only want to have a relationship with people who see the world according to you, then the only person you're going to have a relationship with is the person in the mirror, because everybody else sees the world different. And that's what makes the magic of life so wonderful, because everyone's different, and you can explore different religions and different views and different cultures and different beliefs and all sorts of stuff. But remember that if you're in a communication state and you're in that negative emotion, getting into that negative emotion when you're connecting with someone or communicating with someone, it's going in negative, and that negative means you're getting fired up, you're getting angry, you're getting fearful, you might be getting jealous, you might be getting defensive. They're all negative emotions, and when you're in that negative emotional state, you go into that pure emotion and things just start to come out, and you start to use fiery words that many times in life you will regret saying. And if you look back in your life, throughout your life, and think of all the times that you've had these quite emotional outbursts or quite emotional scenes of fighting and wars and sorts of things, and you've got over it and you've gone from that emotional state, it may take days, if not weeks, if not years, to go from let the dust of emotions settle down so you can actually see the past from logical eyes. And now you're in a logical state, you tend to go, oh my gosh, I don't believe I said that. We tend to regret the words, the things we say when we're in that emotional state, particularly if it's a negative emotional state. Now, it can be a positive emotional state where you're in, you know, the emotional state of love and joy and fun and laughter and success and ambition and achievement, and that's all fantastic as well. But also you've got to maybe be careful and keep it in check that you don't get overwhelmed by the positive emotional state, because sometimes you can exaggerate your emotions by saying exaggerated words. You meet a beautiful partner, you've been able to see your first date, things are fantastic, and you're full of, you know, you say, oh, this is the one, and yes, I'm in love, and you say, I'm in love, I want to marry you, and it's only the first date. Well, now there's a classic example of an emotional positive state of mind. It can also be where you have an achievement, then you say, that's it, and you get this massive feeling of success and significance from that achievement, and then you start to go, yep, now I'm going to go and conquer the world, and the next day you can't get out of bed. So sometimes it's important to, number one, to be careful or beware, self-conscious of when you're going into that negative emotional state, when you're having a conversation or discussion with someone or communicating with one person or group of people. But also be aware of where it can be. The positive's great, you know, because great things come out of that. But it also can be very challenging if you let your emotion, positive emotions get out of hand, because you tend to say things that you can't back up. And then in the negative, you say things that you're going to regret. So today's session is to just be aware of, you know, conversations and discussions, and making things don't turn into a war, or they also don't turn into a promise that you cannot deliver on. So let's have a look at points of when you're going to come into contact with other people, because that's what life is about. It's about the human connection and the human spirit and the connection, the communication, the love. And to be able to have the skills to be able to nurture those relationships, or maybe sometimes just cut off those relationships. It's going to be your choice. At least you have that choice, you have that control. But also remember, everyone has their own view, as I shared before, their own belief, their own opinion, their own conviction. So before we can get into that, it's important to understand that what I was taught a long time ago is that where are people's emotional state when it comes to a topic of interest? And sometimes a sensitive topic, whether it be, as I said beforehand, politics, religion, gender, medical, they're all very, you know, we were taught when I was young, which is, you know, a long time ago, is there are certain topics you don't divulge openly because people may attack you, and you don't necessarily always share or discuss because they can be quite sensitive. You know, never talk religion, politics, or gender. I think now, in this day and age, now it's your medical preferences that's now put in there, because now that can be divisive. And it's not that those topics are divisive, it's that humans make them divisive. So my challenge to you is not to be the person that make those topics divisive. Make them a great topic of interest and of sharing and seeking to understand, and not necessarily always agreeing, but respecting someone else's view on that topic. And you respect, you know, I have a religious upbringing when I was young, and I respect all religion. I respect all genders. Yeah, it's a court of free world. I respect all choices. Yeah, you can choose to do what you want as long as you're not harming other people, animals, and children. That's my view from a personal point of view. But if it doesn't harm anyone, you can do what you want, when you want, whom with whom you want, for as long as you want. It's none of my business. If it's an area that I'm interested in and I want to learn more about, then let's engage and have a conversation, because I want to become more informed. I want to become more cultured. I want to become more worldly. But also, we are emotional creatures, and emotions are important things to understand, because they're the things that help us survive through the Captain Caveman days of fight, flight, and freeze. Those areas that, because emotions is a driver. It's the emotional driver, physiologically, that our body's ready for action to fight off against the threat or the intruder, or to run from the threat or the intruder. So understanding that emotional can get us quite into motion. Now, is that motion going to be positive or negative? That's going to be up to you to choose at that time. But if you don't have the knowledge and the skill set to do that, you probably go straight into attack mode, and that will tend to be your reset button rather than, okay, there are some. Rather than being active, I can maybe be passive. And to rather put fighting fire with fire, maybe I can just use water for the fire. And that's going to be have less collateral damage in the relationship and the people around you. But yeah, we are certainly very much opinionated type people. But make sure you have your opinionated, build relationships, not destroy relationships. When someone has a view, and I was taught this a long time ago, when someone has a view, an opinion of something, and they haven't been exposed to it very long, and they're very open. Because when we're young, we're very open to learning. You know, we're open to everything. You know, I used to believe in the Santa Claus would come in the middle of the night and leave me presents, and the Easter Bunny would come and leave a little chocolate. So I just, oh, like a kid, you believe that? And the Tooth Fairy would give me 10 cents for my tooth. And I used to believe all those things, and just because that's what a child does. They're just so open to learning, and they enjoy the fruits of imagination of life. And that's a great place to be. But as we tend to get older, we tend to sort of harden our views on different things. And sometimes we harden our views on different things, not based on evidence, or not based on information or science or proof. We just harden our view on those things because of our maybe our circle of influence of what we've been taught, our upbringing, our personal experiences, what it might be. Not all of those are in our own control. So when someone has a strong view of something, just be very careful that you don't blame or judge the person, because they just might be the product or the result of their upbringing, or their religion, their religious upbringing, or their social upbringing, or their value systems that they were brought up, or their own experiences. It's very hard to, it's impossible to understand what someone's gone through. And maybe if you actually knew what they've gone through to get that view, even though that view is completely different to yours, if you knew what they went through, whether it be their choice or not their choice, then maybe you'd actually understand and have a bit of compassion. It'd be a great paradigm shift. It says, oh my gosh, if I had that upbringing, goodness knows what would have happened to me. But we're very quick to judge people's views without seeking to understand why they have those views, or they have those opinions, and what are all the elements of their life that led them to that position. And that may not have always been in their control. So the first rule is don't judge. There's a great thing I was taught is don't judge others and make sure that you forgive others. And that was a great principle who's taught to me from someone who says, Jesus, and not necessarily religious, but Jesus is a person who forgives all but judges none. Isn't that a great philosophy? So maybe take the Jesus philosophy. Forgive all and judge none. What a great place to be, because now you're going to build no barriers. And the biggest barriers that are built are barriers that are based on judgment of differences. That's what we build barriers on. If you want to break down those barriers, then get rid of the judgment and forgive and welcome people in. And then you can choose whether you're going to welcome, how close you let them get to you. But we all have views. Now, when we're young or when you first get information, you form an opinion. Now, to me, my personal definition of opinion is quite shallow. It can change quite easily. If you get new information that contradicts that opinion, you change your mind and say, well, actually, that opinion is not really so strong. When I was young, I've been an exercise professional for going on 40 years. I was young and I was learning it when I was going through university, and I realised, looking back, a lot of the stuff I've learnt was not necessarily relevant, wasn't entirely correct. But I took it on board and ran with it anyway. So in those early years of my youth and my growth in, as an exercise professional, I formulated opinions. So someone would come to me in the gym and, well, what should I do for this? I said, well, that's the best exercise for that, and that's the best nutrition for that. And that can be the same with any vocation or any career or any area of interest or passion that you have. You form an opinion. And the longer you're in that profession or hobby or recreation or whatever it might be, the more those opinions can, if you reaffirm them by teaching them, by practicing them, then those opinions will start to solidify or crystallize and form into what I call a belief. So I guess if you look at, I used to think, the mind is like cement. And when you're young, it's wet cement. It's like when you see those big cement trucks and they're turning. And what they do is they have to keep turning that big bowl on the back of the truck, and they keep that cement, so that cement doesn't settle and doesn't harden. So you've got to keep the thoughts going. So when you're young, your mind is like wet cement. It's moldable, it's changeable, it's adaptable, it's not set, it's constantly moving, which is a great place to be. And a good little lesson is to keep your mind in that state, so you're going to keep growing and keep changing, keep developing. However, if you start to not move that mind or thought process around, you start to set your thoughts on a certain opinion by just doing it, practicing it, teaching it, living it, and not opening yourself up for new ideas and new thoughts or new views, then that opinion becomes a belief. And the belief is a lot stronger than an opinion. A belief, in my view, is something which is, I've taken ownership of that piece of information. I've taken ownership of that view. So if ever that belief is now questioned or debated, or is sometimes, and I'm emotionally attached to it, then I feel you're attacking that belief system that I have. So rather than, if it's negative, rather than discussing it, you will start to defend it, and you start to attack back, and you start to push off, and you start to, and all of a sudden that goes to that discussion point where it goes south, because you're attacking this is mine. How dare you try to change what's mine? And I've experienced that myself as an exercise professional, because when I got my degree, now I've got a bachelor degree, a position of authority, I had now have a status, now I became defined by my degree, and then I got elevated as the gym supervisor, I got the badge and a degree, now I become a bit more of an authoritarian rather than remaining a student. And I look back on those times now and think, oh my gosh, some of the things I used to say, some of the things I used to defend, some of the things I used to push off, some of the things I used to do, I'm a little bit embarrassed by what I said and did back then. So if you're around then when I was your gym supervisor and I said something which is quite defensive and sometimes could be seen as abusive, then I apologize, because obviously that's where my mindset was. I was formulating my own belief system. And then you start to defend that. Now, when you really keep developing that and you become known as the expert in that area, or the opinionated person in that area, whatever it might be, or the authority in that area, sometimes that belief system turns into a conviction. Now, a conviction is something which is so crystallized, it's almost unbreakable. A conviction is something, it's not just a belief that I own. Now, a conviction is that is who I am. So if you start to now question or try to debate or open up any discussion against my conviction, whether it be a religious conviction or whether that be a medical conviction, a political conviction, a gender conviction, any form of conviction, whatever, then how it should be done conviction, then you feel that you're being attacked personally. And when you start getting attacked personally, you take it very personally. You go straight into the emotional state. How dare they say that? How dare they question me? I've got a degree. I'm a doctor. I've got a badge. I'm a politician. I'm a minister. I'm a whatever it might be. And you start to defend behind that status symbol, that icon that you've been defined by. But not understanding is that what got you there was lots of open learning, but you didn't keep that cement turning in the truck. You let it settle, solidify, and now you're not open to new ideas. There's an old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, you can if you're always teaching the dog new tricks, because then it's always open for new stuff to get rid of the old stuff. The biggest barrier to learning is knowing. You know, your biggest barrier to your future is your past. If you're not learning new stuff, you're not going to get new stuff. I say beautifully in our program, if you want to earn more, you have to learn more. But to learn more, you have to unlearn what you already know, because what you know may be the barrier to what you don't know, and it's what you don't know that gets you to where you want to be. And it's only what you know that's gotten you to where you are, and that's called personal and professional development. So be aware, sometimes people get to the state, me included, you get to that position of conviction, means that cement is now hardened so much it's like hard concrete. And to get fresh information into the hard concrete, it's like trying to, if the cement is still wet and turning, you can add water to it, which is new information, new ideas, new thoughts, new philosophies, new values, new all those things that make up the rich life. You can add it in there and it'll be absorbed and it'll be turned around and you toss it around and yeah, that's what happens. But if that cement becomes hardened like concrete, putting that water, which as I said is represented in new ideas and thoughts and knowledge and all those great things, that's like pouring water on hardened concrete. It just bounces off. So you can share ideas with someone who's really set in their ways and it'll just bounce off their head, it'll bounce off their mind. So you've got to ask yourself, yeah, is it worthwhile me trying to crack through the cement? I know I may need a jackhammer to get new ideas in there. But if they're open-minded and they've still got that wet cement, then it's going to be a great open discussion, a mixture of ideas and thoughts with respect and humility that's going to come out with something better. So that's just a little bit of a background for you to seek to understand where people are. It's not right or wrong. That's just the way things are. For example, I love my father very, very much. He's passed away. And yeah, being someone of vintage, and when he passed away, he was well into his 80s, but he'd been through the war and he grew up on a farm with no running water and all, no electricity. So he had a very tough upbringing in country Ireland, went through the war, went through, you know, those times that, you know, we have been blessed not to have to go through. And he worked and he fought the war for freedom to give me the opportunity to live the magical life that I've had through the 70s and 80s and 90s and now into the 2010s and 20s. And obviously he's formed his own values and his beliefs and convictions. So we didn't always agree on a lot of things, but what I did do in our time together, I'd find the common ground that we'd sit down, have a great conversation, develop a great relationship full of love and trust and connection, but there were certain topics which I deliberately didn't bring up because we had a different view on the world on those topics. And that's not right or wrong. He has his right to have his own view. He's lived his own life. I haven't gone through the war. I wasn't brought up on a farm with no water or electricity. I remember Rory and I, we went traveling through Ireland some time ago, and when he was alive, he took us to where he was brought up. I thought, oh my gosh, it's just amazing. You know, kids today, and there's no judgment there, but kids today get stressed out over, you know, they got the latest iPhone, or whether they get a like on Facebook, where he woke up with no electricity and he had to go and see if there's any water in the well, which is a little hole in the ground, to give water to the family. So it's a big paradigm shift of understanding. He said, hey, you know, this person's been through what I would never imagine, even if I can get through it. And he's given the opportunity now. So who am I to judge him on his views and convictions and his opinions and beliefs? Because, hey, he has a right to have them, and they're very justifiable in his own mind, and that's not right or wrong. That's just the difference of people and what makes up the magic in life. It's like the jungle. Everyone has different views, and there's different animals. There's the monkey, there's the bird, there's the hyena, there's the lion, and none of it is more important than the other, because they all make up the jungle. It's we all make up the world made of humankind, meaning be kind. Human kind, be kind. Particularly, it's great to say that you're kind, but are you kind when you don't have to be kind? And are you kind when you have every reason not to be kind? And that would be a great judgment of your own human character. I was always taught your character to determine by how you treat people who have nothing to offer you, but more importantly, how do you treat people who actually attack you? Do you attack them back? It means you're lowering yourself down to their level of thought, or are you staying above that? But that's another discussion. So understand there's opinions, there's beliefs, there's convictions, and there's an old saying, it's important that you pick your wars. You know, don't pick a fight that you're not going to win. You know, the great Winston Churchill beautifully said, don't bark at barking dogs. And I understand that because I have four dogs. So if a dog barks at you, and sometimes I go, you know, when I was younger, go running or walking and the dog bark at me. Do I bark back at the dog to shut the dog up or to overbark the dog? That would be really silly, wouldn't it? They're dogs, they bark, they're great at it. Me, I'm an amateur in barking. So why do I start an argument with the dog by barking at it? That would be crazy. Just let it bark itself out and eventually go to sleep because you get tired of barking. But for me to stir it up by barking back at it, which is like an argument, and what you tend to do in an argument, people's tones or voices goes up, the volume goes up and you try to outbark each other, but no one's actually listening. You're just making this loud noise, hoping the louder the noise, the more you're going to win. And you go away and says, yes, I told them. Well, you didn't tell them anything because they weren't listening to a word that you were saying. You know, there's another great saying which I learned, never argue with an idiot, because now you've got two idiots arguing. And they'll beat you every time because they've been an idiot longer than you. But if you keep engaging in that, you'll soon become the idiot. And many times we be careful, you know, understand that label of the idiot doesn't mean they're an idiot. This probably just means that I think they're an idiot because they have a different view than me. So they probably could be a genius and I'm the idiot. So sometimes you don't know who really is the idiot until many days, months, years, decades after, and you look back and go, well, I look back in my life, and sometimes there's times I've had these quite robust discussions where I've just, boom, and I've attacked because I've been defensive because I was in that conviction state, and I look back, and at that time, I thought the person I was attacking, and I was overpowering them with my words or my education or with my loudness or with my attitude or whether it be my confidence, which is really probably arrogance. And I walked away telling him what I thought, and I thought I was the genius and they were the idiot. But looking back on it, many times I look back and says, actually, I was the idiot, and they were right. Isn't that funny? So let's not put ourselves in that position where in the future we'll look back in the current and look back and say, geez, wasn't I the idiot? Wasn't I stupid? Wasn't I naive, ignorant, and passionately and sincerely naive, passionate, idiot. Because sometimes people, they truly, when someone says something and then they convict, they truly believe in what they're saying. And that, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but they themselves, they think it's right. And they're passionate about it, and they're sincere about it, and they can be quite convincing about it, and so that then pass that on to other people. But I want you to be able to see through the smoke and mirrors, and be able to see as much of the truth as you can. Because no matter what the topic, there's always two sides. No matter how thinly you slice it, there's always two sides. And a mature person would look at all the sides. And many times with any topic, there's not two sides, there's dozens, if not hundreds of sides, depending on where it is and where you're at and what you're doing and the experience that you have. So be that mature person who doesn't accept anything, but just explores everything to find as close to the truth as you can possibly can, that you can live with and you can have a discussion. So rather than, hey, there's my side and your side, well, actually there's more than that. Life is more complex than just two sides. And be respectful to yourself and be humble in your knowledge, respectful for other people, humble yourself, and be able to explore everything as much as you can to develop yourself in your personal and professional development and to build your character and being that person of wisdom that people see, okay, he's level-headed or she's level-headed and she has a good view of things, but she doesn't judge anyone and she accepts everyone's thoughts and listens to everybody. So here's a couple of things that you're going to, when you come in contact with people, whether it be socially or professionally or randomly, whether it be friends, acquaintances or strangers, sometimes conversations will grow their own legs. And you can start with simple conversation opens. Hey, tell me about you and tell me your views on that and what do you do and why do you do that? And that's going to open up conversation. And sometimes topics will arise. And at the moment, there's obviously the topic of what's going on in the world now, and everyone has a very strong view. And when you look at humankind, there's not a lot of kindness going on. It's almost human judgment, human division. And that never leads to a good outcome. That leads to a war, and when it comes to a war, no one wins in a war. Everyone loses. As the great Einstein said, he says, I don't know what they're going to be fighting with in World War III, but I do know what they will be fighting in World War IV, and that will be sticks and stones. Because at the moment, the world's slightly high-powered military-wise. If a war, World War, there's not going to be anything left. We're going to be fighting with sticks and stones again, back to World War Zero when cavemen and tribes were throwing stuff at each other. But point being is that if you let this get out of hand or turn into a war and there's no winners, zero winners whatsoever, and you'd be sitting there regretting what you said and what you did. So don't poke the rattlesnake, is a great saying I was taught. Don't poke the rattlesnake. There's a rattlesnake, let sleeping dogs lie. I mean, sometimes you just let them go. Don't engage. Don't poke the rattlesnake because it'll end up biting you. You know, if I look at communication, I see a strange dog walking down the path, and that strange dog is a Labrador, and its tail's wagging. Then I go, yay, it's a Labrador, because I love Labradors. I've got two Labrador Retrievers. I had a Labrador Golden Retriever beforehand, another Labrador before that, because they're always friendly and great lovers and communications and cuddly and all sorts of stuff. Right? So I'm a bit more open to have a connection with a Labrador. But if I'm walking down the street and I see this dog coming towards me and they look like a wolf and their fangs are out and their ears are up and the hairs on the back of their neck and they're like this and they're muscular, I'm going to be a bit more cautious in how I connect with that dog. And I'm a dog lover for all dogs, and sometimes there's no such thing as good or bad dogs, it's just good or bad owners, because the dog many times is the reflection of the owner. So I don't blame a dog that's angry because probably it's been abused by the owner or taught to be angry. So I don't attack the person, I attack the problem. The problem is maybe the person behind the dog. And that's another topic. So life is like that. You're going to come across people who are just naturally angry. You're going to have people who are naturally open and kind. And you come across people who are quite like an argument. Some people are going to discussion. When you open up a discussion, you're going to get a sense of their position on any particular topic when you ask them about that topic. So if their topic comes up, And you say, hey, so what are your thoughts on that? When myself and Rory, we travel to America We've probably been there 50 times at least. And obviously, America is a real hot topic at the moment because there's the left and the right wing of politics, and they're all attacking each other, and it's all about cancel culture, and it's all very nasty war going on there. And wars these days aren't fought with guns and bullets and missiles. Now they're fighting with cancel culture, social media, technology, and all this type of stuff. And it's actually, I think it's quite meaner because you can't actually see your enemy anymore. You used to be able to see your enemy in my day when I was growing up in school. If, you know, Tom, the bully at school, picked on me, Tom was in front of me, right? He picked on me and I could see him. And so I could choose whether I'm going to walk away or we're going to have a scuff in the playground. At least I can see. And the worst thing that came out is I had a blood nose and maybe a little bit of a dented ego because I lost the fight. But then the next day, we're back to being best friends again and off we go. But this day and age, it seems to grow its own legs on media. You don't even see your enemy. There's all these abuse things that are going on in social media and comments and cancel culture and spreading. And it's quite, can be nasty out there. So you've got to be very careful of who you engage in and where it could go. So there's be cautious now because we're far more connected now and things can quite easy, very quickly get out of hand. But if you do happen to engage in someone and you ask them on a particular topic of interest, could be emotional, could be quite a controversial topic, and you ask them, and one of the things, Ron, we like to ask everyone's view, because if I get your view and your view and your view, your view, then I'm going to have a whole collection of views that I'm going to be able to help me formulate a view which I feel that's probably closest to the truth or closest to the serving my life, rather than just being naive and thinking there's only one view. So when we go to America, we'll ask, hey, what's your view on the president, or what's your view on this, or what's your view on that? And all of a sudden, you get all these views. And I have two cabbies, and they will tell me two completely different things about the same situation. You can have the same thing happen, and 10 people will tell you 10 completely different versions of what actually happened. And the ones who are very emotional about it will be way up this end, and ones who are negative emotion will be up there, and positive emotions up there, and they'll be very all over the place. So when you hear stuff or you see stuff, it's not always the exact truth, because sometimes your truth through your eyes, truth is in the eyes of the beholder, as they say, can be affected by your emotional state at the time. For example, if you just had a relationship breakup, then every song you hear on the radio seems to be a sad song. If you're just falling in love, then every song you tend to hear on the radio is a love song. But the radio is the same, but it's, you tend to see or hear what you hear and see based on your, many times, your emotional state. So just be aware of that sometimes even your words can be affected by your emotional state. That when you do connect with someone and you ask a topic, you straight away get an idea whether they're open to ideas or closed to ideas, whether they're wet cement or they're hardened concrete, whether they're having opinions or they're just strong convictions, whether they're kind or whether they're judgmental. You're going to get a good feel from that through what we call your ethos, is what the communication that comes off people by their aura and how they speak and their intonation. And then you can say, okay, this is a situation where, if I go against this person's view, their conviction, they may get very defensive, they may become very forceful, they may become very judgmental, they become very aggressive, many times passive-aggressive, and then you can choose whether you want to poke that rattlesnake or engage in that barking dog and go, okay, well, I'll let that slide because I don't need this, because nothing good is going to come out of this. This is not going to end well. So what you do, if that is the case, then you have to be able to find a topic. You can switch topics to something which is more neutral or more common ground. And many times, I'll chat to people and they would go, and go, okay. And then I would say, oh, how about, what do you think about this? And boom, it's something which is fairly neutral, but not necessary. So I just switch it to something else to, we don't need to discuss the rough waters here. Let's go to the calm waters here, because I'm not going to be able to calm your waters because you're stirring up your own waters, and I'm not going to be able to put that fire out because it's a raging bushfire and I've just got a little bucket of water. That's not going to do the job. If anything, putting water on your fire is going to be like putting petrol on your fire. If anything, it will flare it up and it will blow up in my face. So you can switch the topic to something which is going to be where you're going to find common ground, because sometimes you find people which are very, what we call narrow-minded, right? They're very narrow-minded and they're on that and that's where they are, and that's okay. You know, that's fine. If you want to walk that tightrope of that relationship where at any stage they can push you off it, then you're always going to be you're always going to be, oh my gosh, when's this going to happen? When they're going to blow up my face? When they're going to get angry? When it's going to turn to a fight? And then if that's no real way to live a life. If you may find people who have great open ideas, the open of ideas, and you can have this playground. It's like this great playground of ideas and thoughts, and you can have differences of opinion, but you respect each other's opinion, but you can explore all the other views of the playground. A lot of my friends are like that. We have just great discussions and we don't agree with everything, but sometimes we agree to disagree, then we go and play in a different part of the playground, on a different swing, a different toy, whatever it might be, and we still have this great relationship. But other people says, hey, this is it and that's all there is. If you don't like it, then you're the enemy. And they're types of people that you have very short encounters with before you move on, because you're not going to change your whole life and view to be able to live on their tightrope, because any time they can push you off and you go, whoa, down the land and the rocks below. But you can get a general gist of how people communicate, their tone, their ethos, their aura when you bring up certain topics. So you have a choice. You can actually switch because you want to still explore the relationship or still explore topics of interest, or you can say, look, disengage, and that's up to you. And sometimes I will switch because, yeah, overall, I'm interested in the person. I want to get to know them more. Yeah, we don't agree on that topic, but there's no use arguing about that, particularly if it's our first topic. Because if we argue on the first topic, we're never going to explore the rest of the potential of the relationship. Now, if that topic itself is so divisive and it gets completely against your values, then that's okay. Just disengage the relationship, because if that's going to affect everything else, but make sure that that is not just your emotion, the view of that. Take responsibility that maybe be an adult, that your view is not the only view and your way is not the only way. And then you can choose whether you're going to explore other areas in the playground of the relationship, or you're going to disengage and find a completely different playground of your own. And that's completely up to you. Either way, be respectful in how you do it. So if you're going to disengage, be respectful in how you disengage. You say, wow, that's interesting. Wow, I never thought of it like that before. Thank you for opening up my mind and my eyes to a different view of that situation. I really appreciate it. Have a fantastic day and all the best for the future. And then you go off. So what you leave with acknowledging what they say, and we say the basis of any relationship is based on the root system, means number one, you have to acknowledge. You have to, A, is acknowledge. Two is respect. Three is accept. Four is understand. And the last one is touch. Now, you may never get through all that list because you may choose not to get to the touch part, but you could use it. For example, if acknowledge, or thank you so much, or I thank them for their thought, thank for their input, for their ideas, for expressing their views and opinions. Thank you for that. Doesn't mean I'm not saying whether I agree with it or not. I'm just thanking them for offering it. So remember, when you say this, it's not about thank you for that, I disagree with that. Straight away, a barrier goes up. You know? So rather than disagreeing, if you say thank you for that, I never thought of it that way. Thank you for opening up my eyes to a different view of it. Doesn't mean you agree with the view, but you've opened up your eyes through their eyes. And that's another stitch in the rich tapestry of your life. So what you've done is you acknowledge them. You've said that in a respectful way, not a judgmental way. You're saying a respectful, humble way, not in a door. Thank you for opening up my eyes. Ha! What would that say? Not a respectful way. So if there is differences, always respect each other. If respect the differences and be very humble in your own view of the world. So accept, respect, accept. So the A is accept. So what you're going to do is you may not accept their view, or accept their idea, or accept their principles, whatever it might be. But what you can do is accept their right to have a view. I accept everyone has a right to have a voice, to have a view, to have an opinion. I accept and I respect that. I may not accept the information, but I accept that you have a right and I respect you have the right. And then understand, seek to understand. There's a great book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. One of the habits by Stephen Covey is seek to understand before they understood. So before you share your opinion, get their opinion first. Find out where their ground is. Find out whether it's emotional or logical. agreeable or whatever it might be, or aggressive. So seek to understand before to be understood. And you've done that by saying, hey, share with me your views and tell me about that and tell me more. Okay, so why do you believe that and how does that work? So you can ask these great open questions that get them to think about not just their principles and ideas, but actually to dig deeper to say, where do they come from and how do you justify them? In not in a judgmental way, but more of a learning way, as a exploration way. If you say it that way, then they're going to open up. And the deeper you go, you're going to get to more deeper to the truth. Now, there's a few things that will happen here is that you will either go, well, that's a different view, and you change your view, or you take a part of their view and add it to your view and get rid of some of your view, or you may get rid of your view and just take on their view, or you may completely agree to disagree where you don't believe it at all, and that's perfectly fine, but now you're better for it. You're actually better than you were before because now you're more informed rather than misinformed or uninformed. So make sure before you even come to any form of conclusion of anything is that you explore all the rabbit holes, both sides, multiple sides, their view, rather than you're going to be this little insular pocket of aggressive opinion attacking everyone, and it's like that little angry chihuahua in the corner and no dog wants to be a friend of it, and you go, just barking, going, wow, God, I'll stay away from that little angry little mutt. And I don't get me wrong, I love chihuahuas. My grandparents had a little chihuahua called Chow Chow. Not Chow Chow, what's his name? Oh, it'll come back to me now, it's been a long time. Don't be that irritating person who has a strong opinion about everything, but you've actually in a little place of information. So seeking to understand before it understood, and then obviously that touch at the end is from a respectful way, you shake hands, thank you very much for that, have a great life. So that's one option, is when you get to that point, you can disengage, or you can switch it to another topic of interest. But if you find that they're really open and they're very, they like a discussion and they're logical and they have a great process, and then you can explore that topic more together in a respectful way where we can start asking more questions about that particular topic or that area of interest. And that's where you start to form great relationships. You know, I have very good open discussions with good friends of mine about areas that we know we have different views on it, but we're very open to exploring. Because many times I say, you know what I said then? Oh, I was wrong, you know, because back then I knew this, but since then I've learnt this, and I've changed my mind on that because I've grown since that, because I've got more information or more things have occurred since then, or more experience or more wise, or there's more research or there's more data, because things in life always change. Life is always changing. So don't cement yourself into one thing because you're going to be left behind. You have to keep adapting. You know, adapt or die, says the dinosaur. So they're the relationships that you can nurture and you can add in. And a great relationship is when you're with someone where we have basically a 50-50 communication. They talk 50% of the time, I talk 50% of the time. But great communication is really, as you know, a lot of us asking questions and listening and not necessarily saying much. But when you do say things, it's of value based on the information that you've learnt from them or learnt from other places, and you want to share, to put it into the pot, the mixture pot, to toss things around and come out with a better. Your idea, my idea, put them together, mix them all up, and we'll come out with a better idea. And the more great ideas, mix them all up, get rid of the bad, keep the good, come out with a great. And that's what great relationships are all about. It's about brainstorming. But if you want to brainstorm, make sure you storm with people with brains, because some people, their brains is dead. They're just fixed. Their brain is not active. They're fixed in the past or they're set ways. And that's not right or wrong. That's just the way life is. But if you can be above that and you can develop relationships with people like that who are always open for change and open for new ideas, and particularly if those ideas are conflicting or contradictory to their views, but they say, hey, that's completely different to what I think, but tell me more about that, and it doesn't get emotional, it stays logical. And then when you come up with a new great idea, then you get emotional about that, because it's a positive, valuable outcome of that process. It's called a building bigger building blocks. So when you engage in conversation, discussion with people, to make sure it doesn't get to that stage of war, you want to get to that stage of a mutually respectful, loving relationship. And that many times can be determined by you whether it goes north or south. But if you're trying to take it north and they're way pushing down south because they're so fixed in their ideas or they're concrete or they're judgmental or angry or they're in that place of blame-itis or excuse-itis or whatever it might be, then hey, let's just let that one slide. And then you can do one of three things in that whole process. Number one, tell me about that. Anyone thinks differently, they're idiots. Yeah, wow, thank you so much. I never thought of it like that. Thank you for giving me some great insight and great input and sharing me a different view of things. That's really fantastic. So what do you think? He says, well, my mind isn't quite made up, but you certainly added value to me to make up my mind. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Shake hands. Have a great day. Have a great life. All the best. So that's all following the root system and you're disengaging. B scenario is that, hey, that person has something valuable, they're quite aggressive in that area, but let's switch topics to see if there's other potential to develop a relationship, even though they're pretty set in that. Because maybe sometimes if you develop relationship in these less emotional places and they're based on logic and they start to like you and they start to respect you on these areas, then what they may do is they may start to, respect your views on this area and vice versa. You may get to know them better and understand a bit more of why they have that strong view in this area, and they'll get to know you and be more open to you sharing your idea. So sometimes going over here in non-emotional areas, negative emotion, more maybe positive emotion, things that we have an interest, well, that's fantastic, oh, we're so much alike, yeah, even though this little area is there, this sometimes can open up this and break down the concrete here and start to fall apart, fragment, and before you know it, you come up with a win-win. So win-win means that, I'm not compromising for you, you're not compromising for me. We're finding middle ground and finding a win-win, and we can manage this even if we do have differences, so we can still explore and enjoy this. Or this may be broken down, and you come up with something whole new, completely new. So that's another option. Or number three, the third option is that, hey, you can see they're really open-minded, you really want to get to know them, they want to get to know you, you have a respect for each other, and you can have some good, robust, thoughtful, genius type discussions in this particular area. And the great Einstein says when it comes to mindset and thinking, this is his words, not mine, there are three different types of people in the world. The first type of people he calls losers, and that's not because they're losers in that nature, but because they lose their life. They lose their life in other people because all they talk about is other people in a gossip negative sense, about the Joneses. Did you hear what happened to so-and-so? And hey, that movie star or that person said that, and they're on social media, you hear about that, and they get a certain level of satisfaction, gratification of seeing other people not do so well, because it makes them feel better because they're not doing anything, I suppose. So what they do is they lose their life in other people. So if you eavesdrop in conversations and all they're talking about is the boss or the other person or the neighbor or the movie star or this celebrity and this, then there's not much going on there. Unless you're that way minded and wired, then certainly join in and that's fine. And that makes you happy. Good luck to you. But nothing new comes out of that. And you end up losing your life because all you're doing is living your life through looking at and judging others. Then there's a second category, what he calls average people. And that's not right or wrong, but average people, they tend to live their life through events. They look for the week, they're looking forward to the weekend, they're looking for the event, they go to the football, they go to the sporting event, they go to the concert, they go to the movies, they go to the whatever it might be. And there's nothing wrong with that, but they live their life looking at other people living a greater life or living their dream. Either a rock star or a movie star or a celebrity or what might be, and you live it through the events of those people who are producing events. So you pay a mission fee to go to the football, a mission fee to go to the theatre, and that's fantastic. That's all great if that adds value to you, but it's not just distracting you from an average life. If you're talking about other people and that's just a distraction mechanism to stop you from living your dream life, then that is not a good outcome. If your whole life is going to the sporting event because that's distracting you from living your life in an event that you want to live, then that's not necessarily a great outcome. But if you're, I like to talk about people who are doing great things because that inspires me to do my great things. I love to go to the movies or the sporting events because that inspires me because they're living their dream. Why can't I live my dream? So those two situations can be positive and negative depending on, is it distracting you or is it motivating you to go and live your life? Is it distracting you from your life or motivating you to live a better life? And the third type of people that Einstein talks about is what he calls geniuses. And all geniuses do, all they talk about is ideas. Ideas and way to implement. So their minds are always about this idea, let's do this, let's do this. So they're building and creating and innovating things. And that's ideas. And the ideas sometimes are developing your own ideas and changing your own ideas and opinions and beliefs and values over time to make them better, make them better. And it's great to be able to brainstorm with other common like-minded people because your future will be determined by your circle of influence, like-minded people who are putting their great ideas without judgment, without being abused or without being cancelled or whatever it might be, and you come up with better things for each other. And the ultimate value of a relationship is that I'm adding value to your life and you're adding value to my life. So I get a better life, you get a better life, we get a better life, and we can pass it on to everyone else. So we make the humankind a better life. We're adding value to the world, not taking value from the world. So focus on things that are important, not things that are insignificant. And don't focus on small stuff, because at the end of your life, it's all small stuff. See you in the next K-Max.